As coaches, we're always looking for new ways to keep our players safer without compromising their performance. Revolutionize your approach to blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling with USA Football's Tip of the Spear contact system. Receive hands-on coaching and classroom instruction featuring the most effective tools and drills that take your program to the next level. Trusted by top coaches at every level of play, including Bill Callahan of the Washington Redskins. Arm your entire coaching staff with the most sophisticated contact system in the game. Learn more at www.usafootball.com/podcastclinic.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I continue our discussion with state championships from 2017, and joining me today on the podcast is Coach Phil Light from Staley High School in Kansas City, Missouri. They were the Class 5 champions, and they won the game on a two-point conversion with 9 seconds left. We'll get into that a little bit in that decision, but Coach, it's exciting to have you here on the podcast.
Appreciate being here.
Well, Coach, let's talk about that win. You know, in the show we talk about a lot of different things, but let's start with that win first, and tell me a little bit about that decision to go for two with 9 seconds in the game.
Well, what we did is we found ourselves with 57 seconds left in the ball game. We found ourselves behind, and we ended up driving 75 yards for the score. And instead of kicking it, taking it overtime, I felt like we had momentum. And you know, one thing about it is we take a tremendous amount of pride in our preparation for preparing for our opponents. But one thing I've done since I've taken over as head coach, we spend 5 minutes a week on Wednesdays, and all we do is we go over two-point conversion scenarios, and we have anywhere from 8 to 10 two-point conversion plays that we run, and we run them as fast as we can, and our kids know them, and they're basically one-word calls. So my decision was when we crossed the 50, I remember looking over at one of my assistant coaches on the defense, and I said, hey, give your side of the ball the heads up. We're going to go for two here. And then once we crossed it, there was a timeout that our opponent took, and we brought our kids over, and I just kind of quietly told our coordinators, we score this particular drive, we're going for two. We're going to control our own destiny. And that was a huge work for us throughout our playoff run after getting beat in 2016 in the semifinals. We just talked about it was our destiny. So we end up scoring, and actually was the score in that particular, that play call was a two-point conversion that we call outlaw. And we actually scored off of it. And then what we did is we wanted to make sure everybody's on the same page. And we took a timeout, got everybody together, and I told our kids, they came over and I said, guys, we're going for two. We're going for the win. And our kids, we have had a play hip pocketed all year long since last June. And we have not shown it. Our kids knew we were going to it. We call it a snag. It will live forever in Staley history. We ran, it's basically a quads type play. We motion in and it's basically with the backside delay built into it. We roll right. If it's there, we'll take it. It's basically a three-receiver snag route on the front side, and then our inside-most receiver delays to the backside as our tight end clears the backside. It was one of those situations where the ball seemed like it was in the air for 5 minutes. He was so wide open, and we end up making the catch, and the rest is history.
Now, Coach, I have a very similar type of two-point play that we've used and had a lot of success with it as well, and it was a delay. Now, the one thing we did differently, I don't know if you've ever done this, we had that guy who was coming across, and a lot of times that was our tight end for us. He'd line up in a tight end or a tight slot type of guy. He would actually kind of stumble and fall down on the ground and lose the eyes of the linebackers and then get up and run to the backside. Have you ever done that or seen that play?
I have seen that play, and what's kind of funny about it, in our situation, he helps seal the end and the tackle overtake. Well, he hits our tackle, and he kind of just you know, luckily for us, he kind of bumped the defender off of us, and it just opened it up even more. But, yeah, I've seen that, and we've talked about adding that a little bit to our repertoire. But it's a great play, and, you know, again, it's something that we run. But we run anywhere. We have probably 8 to 10 two-point conversion plays, and about 6 of those have the delay on the backside, just like that.
Coach, you know, we jumped ahead to the end right there, and that's fine. I want to go back into, you know, the beginning of your career and talk a little bit about your start. You're in your 27th year now, but go back to the beginning. Okay. What was it that spurred you on to become a football coach?
Well, you know, I look back, and what made me want to become a football coach were the biggest influences in my life, and that was my high school coaches. When I was a freshman in high school, I was fortunate enough to be coached by a guy named Don Capaldo. And he taught me 9 different positions. And I remember asking him why. He says, well, in case I need you to block somebody, or in case I just need to train you to learn these positions in case I ever need it. I just remember that. And it just intrigued me, the strategy and those type of things. And from that point on, the time that he invested in me and teaching me football, everything from punting and kicking to being a wideout playing right guard, I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I always have this attitude of gratitude, and there's not a week that goes by or a month goes by, I send him a message and said, thanks, Coach, for everything you've done. But he was my freshman coach. I was fortunate. I grew up in southeast Iowa, a small town called Mount Pleasant, Iowa. And we had a legendary football coach named Bob Evans. And Bob Evans was he's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best coaches ever in that state. What he taught us, you know, when you're a young man, you think you're 6 foot tall and bulletproof, but he taught a lot about life lessons and how to act and how to be, you know, how to act like a champion. And then again, Bob Jensen was another one. He was our defensive coordinator at that time, who later became head coach. And then my baseball coach, Kent Bennett. Those 4 guys meant the world to me, and I knew right away early that I wanted to be a coach, and you know, their influence on me was huge.
Coach, as you look back at you know, some of the mistakes you've made in your career, what would be one you'd point to and a lesson you learned from it?
I think early in my career, you know, I look at it, I probably had too much in a playbook, and you know, 101 ways to run something when, you know, I was young and I was trying to window dress. I was working my way up. Probably that was one of the biggest things that I can remember in my start. The other thing is I was one of those coaches. I want to know everything about our opponent. So I'd put it in a scouting report, and I probably created a situation there where it was paralysis by analysis. And I just felt like our kids weren't playing fast, and I had to change those. So those are the couple of things that I remember starting my career.
Coach, as you started to develop, what were some of the lessons you learned along the way that you feel made a difference and helped you, you know, develop a career that's been successful?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I was fortunate to work for some great coaches. And I started my career after I graduated from William Penn College in Oskaloosa, Iowa. I had the opportunity to come down to the state of Missouri and help jumpstart a high school program with a guy named Chuck Litteris. And I really cut my teeth with Chuck. He taught me everything from offense, defense, the flex bone, how to run a weight room, all those type of things. I'm just truly blessed to look back and what I picked up from him. But the person that had the greatest impact on my coaching philosophy is Fred Bouchard. He's a legend here in Missouri. He has over 200 wins of 5 state titles. And we've known each other for 20 years. We've coached together at college and high school levels for about 13. And what I learned from him is, you know, he's a master motivator. One of the things that we've been able to do when we work together, he stepped down about 3 years ago and went to central office, and I took over. I was a head coach in waiting and all that. But what I learned from him is, you know, how to motivate kids. We're fortunate that, you know, we recruit our hallways. We have a lot of kids play for us, anywhere from 160, 180 kids, 9 through 12. But what I learned from him that I've taken and, you know, I just feel is very important is program organization from top to bottom. Learning that organizational model, you know, creating a two-platoon system, maximizing our roster, increasing our numbers, the whole staff organization from hiring, delegating, you know, recognizing coaches' strengths and weaknesses and just having a good mix and how to hire and creating a high standard and expectations for players and coaches alike. That's what I really picked up from him. You know, I was blessed to spend a lot of time with him. You know, I've said when he stepped down, the process remains the same. But, you know, I put my stamp on a few things. But the process remains the same, but the face has changed. Mm-hmm. Because we have we won several state titles together, and we just firmly believe that the structure we have in place is proven. And that's what I picked up along the way in my career, my philosophy.
Coach, I know one of the things that you really say you hang your hat on is culture, and that building a culture is so important to what you guys do in order to be successful year in and year out. Talk to us a little bit about what are the things that you start with. What are the kind of the core elements of that culture?
Well, you know, we have a tremendous tradition at Staley High School. We're only 10 years old, and we've been fortunate to create a culture that is all-inclusive. And one of the things that I added when I took over was grit. You know, what grit means, you know, guts, resiliency, initiative, and tenacity. We really, that's where I started in 2016 as the head coach. We brand that on everything. And then we talk about our championship culture was the next piece, about accountability, energy and work ethic, mental and physical toughness, family, integrity, and confidence, belief, and faith. And our kids can define those things. They know exactly what our championship culture is. And then we, you know, we just started having our kids teach our younger kids what the expectation is through our culture. And then we, you know, I'm putting it on shirts and everything. And you see it, you hear it from myself and the coaches. But we have this philosophy or this motto. We say every day, every play, every set, every rep, everything we do matters. And it all comes back to that championship culture that we have in place. Some of the things I've been fortunate to do and feel like it's changed. It's taken us to a different level. It's changed us in a lot of ways. We've done a summer book study, and I use John Gordon, who's an author, and he talks a lot about culture and leadership. But we started at the end of our football camps in the summer. We started having our freshmen read one of his books called The Energy Bus. And then I had my sophomores read Training Camp. And then I had my juniors read the book, You Win in the Locker Room, The Seven C's. And then my seniors read The Power of Positivity. And we started doing that. And I'm telling you, the response I got from my coaches and our players was tremendous. They enjoyed it. Every kid has a copy of a book in their hand. And we just did the old-fashioned way. We sat in a circle, we read out loud, and then we would talk about, you know, what that particular chapter was about and have great discussions. I am blessed to have outstanding coaches who are committed to pouring great things into our kids. Life lessons, everything under the sun. Our kids are being taught by outstanding coaches who are outstanding teachers. So we've done a little bit of that. We try to do as much team building as we can. You know, one of the things that we're in the process of doing is creating our new Unity Council. And our Unity Council will be consisted of 5 seniors and 4 juniors, 4 sophomores, and 3 freshmen. Of course, it gives players a voice, but it's going to help us set the expectations and standards and create discipline within our program. We want to continue to build and grow our culture. And one of the things that I'm using is, I'm big on this, is Focus 3 with Tim and Brian Kite, the yep. E plus R equals O, and how that works in our everyday lives. So I believe that you got to have systems in place. So that's going to be a part of what we've already got in our culture. And then the other thing I believe is our leadership program. And we use the program called Habitudes by Dr. Tim Elmore from Growing Leaders. But what I do is during the season, we'll have a word of the week. We'll have a lesson of the week. And what our kids do is they'll set, you know, I'll have my four captains, one with a freshman group, one with a sophomore, and one with the junior, and one with the seniors. And we read a lesson, and then we divide up, and we talk about that particular leadership lesson. And I've come in there and directed that, but I actually leave and let our seniors do it, our captains. And I'm telling you, the participation is outstanding. And those are some of the things that we've done to build our culture. And I think, you know, some other things that we've done, our postseason awards, you know, we have the Grit Award. Everything we try to do is some roundabout way comes back to our culture and what we emphasize, and that we do a lot of that in our program. It's been huge.
Coach, when you know, we think in terms of building that culture, you know, I had Chuck Kyle, Cleveland St. Ignatius, on the podcast, and you know, he talked about every season being like a book, a new book that you're going to open and you're going to write. So for you guys, does it go back to the basics of building culture at the beginning? You know, let's say that starts. When does that start for you, first of all? Is that December? Is that January? When do you guys typically, I guess, begin on that next season?
Well, we try to start that in January. Okay. With our off-season program. That's where we start. And then what we do is, one thing that we're huge on, and I think this has been one of the keys to our success, is we push our kids to be multi-sport athletes. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is push them to go, you know, wrestle, go play basketball. You know, we got spring sports starting next Monday, so we're going to go push them to play baseball or run track, do those type of things. So what I do is I'm blessed. We have what we have. We build into our schedule. It's called Falcon Time, and it's about 40 minutes a day. And what we use that is, if students are struggling in class, they're kind of directed to go get help. And for the students that are taking care of business, you're able to meet with them in a classroom and stuff. So about every Wednesday, I'll have our leadership program where I'll sit in there, and we'll have a particular lesson that we're going over. It could be a Habitudes lesson. It could be something a coach has come up with. And then what we do is we try to get everybody in that room and talk about, you know, why this is important, how this relates to our culture and everything. But that's what we kind of do. That's how we build it into the weekly aspect of things. And then, of course, you know, we hit it hard when we get after it in the summer in our camps and all that. We have book studies, but we're constantly talking about sustaining, building culture. I use this quote from John Gordon: you got to concentrate on the roots first, or you'll never have the fruit. So we always talk about we're taking care of the root, taking care of the root. And if we do a good job with that, we'll always have the fruit.
Coach, you got a great approach, and I know you're using a lot of resources for, you know, building your culture. Is there anything you guys do with social media to promote what you're doing? Do you use an Instagram? Do you send tweets out to the kids? Anything you're doing in that regard?
Yeah, we do. We use a lot of times it's Twitter. You know, I've got outstanding administrators that will come and see what we're doing, and you know, they'll take a photograph, post it there. We have some restrictions what we're able to do in our school district, but one of the things that we've done is, you'll have a special team type award or a defensive type award where we call it our takeaway board. And on the takeaway board, we write, you know, week five, who the opponent was, who the lesson of the week, what it was, the word of the week. We tie all that stuff into it. They hold the board, and it'll have their name on it or initials on it and how many takeaways they created. We find that. And then the other thing we do is, you know, Huddle now, it has the highlights and of the game with the stats. And, you know, we put that out there for people to see. So we're using, we use those things in terms of social media. And, it's always great when you see people like John Gordon reply to something that you posted or shared. You know, Brian Kite has posted and those type of things. And we have a local author here that he'll follow us. His name's Darren Donnelly. He's wrote some excellent books. And I'm an avid reader. We try to use a lot of things in our system of character and leadership, and you know, just how we want to go about our business. We try to use as many resources as we can. One, to keep our coaches current with everything that's going on, but it keeps our kids engaged, and we've had a great response with it.
Coach, looking back at this championship run, you know, what's and I know you're focused a lot on coaching the coaches and building this culture, but I know at the heart of every coach, there's something they love to do and hang their hat on. So looking at the 2017 season, what's a play you feel really kind of propelled you guys through the season and something you look back on and say, you know, that kind of play was key to our success?
Well, when I took over in 2016, I said, we've got to create an identity. The first thing that we've done, and we install Power O, and that's what we hang our hat on. And what we do is we try to run that thing every way, nine ways to Sunday. We window dress it, everything. But what we've been able to do is be able to control what defenses are doing with the RPO game. I mean, we run the front side RPO, we run the back side or backdoor RPO, and we're reading third level. And that's really as, you know, when people are starting to insert safeties to stop that, your best play, that's when we've hit some big plays reading the third level defender, or they're trying to insert or fold back an outside linebacker or a safety. We've been able to take care of that on the front door side of it. If the inside linebacker is, you know, seeing that pulling guard, a lot of times we run that pop RPO. So everything we do is based off of, that's where we start with our install is with power. And then we build the RPOs off of it. So that's what we've really hung our hat on. I think we've ran 1,800 plays in the last 2 years, and 400 of them have been powered to some fashion, whether it's been a straight power handoff or it's been a power pull RPO. But, you know, we start with 20 personnel, and we're running power kick, a lot of people call. We're a gap scheme team, so our tackle's going to block down on the B. If the guard's covered, he's going to double with the guard. They're going to, we call it pin and post with the eyes to the backside, number two linebacker. Our center is going to block back. We're going to square pull the guard for the first back in the box. We're going to singe that step inside and hinge the backside tackle, just like a lot of your 20 personnel teams do. You know, we're going to have we're going to try to do everything we can to protect our base run with screens and access throws, and that's where we start.
Coach, looking at, you know, you guys are spending a lot of time teaching your guys. You made the emphasis that you have some great teachers. So, you know, you've certainly explained the culture side of things and how you're building that. What are some of the best things you guys are doing to teach the game, you know, the X's and O's part, to teach your power play, for example, to install those things?
Well, we're blessed. In our school district, we have one-to-one. That's everybody's got a MacBook. So we use a lot of film to teach off of. We tape every practice, and we put it on huddle. Our coaches sit down with their position groups. They grade every day. One of the things that we do, you know, I'm still old school. We're still going to chalk it, walk it, and go through that process, and then we're going to rough the heck out of it. You know, it's something that we've been doing for the last 2 years, but we just call it circuit training. And I found this to be one of the best things we've ever done, and that is if I've got my varsity group, say, at the 50-yard line, I've got a JV group in front of them, maybe on the 10. And then my varsity group, what they're going to do is they're going to run plays against a certain structure, maybe a 4-2 box. The JV group in front, they're going to go a 3-3 stack look. My sophomore group could be over with a 3-2 box on the left hash, and then on the other left hash, it could be my freshman group with a 4-1 box. And all we try to do is I've got a coach at each one, and they've got a flip chart. They show the blocking scheme, you know, left and right. And what we do is We blow the whistle. They are running power left and right, just the inside run part of it, as fast as they can for 5 minutes. And then what we do is that group rotates. They go to the next box, and we just do four-sport training. While we're doing that at one end, on the other end, I've got receivers, and what they're doing is they're catching two-by-two bubble and now screens versus certain structures on the left and right hashes. And then we've got three-by-one against particular, you know, specific structures, throwing bubbles and nows at it. And that's how we circuit train. So what we're doing at that time is, you know, they're getting the reps. We're protecting our run with the screen, and then we work an access throw in there with all our quarterbacks and stuff. But we teach off the film. You know, we used to be to the point where, you know, we'd slow practice down because we had to get something correct. Well, we've changed how we practice. We're up tempo. We're going to correct on the fly, and we're going to correct it with film. And those have been how we've done business, and it's been, the benefits have been tremendous for us.
Coach, when you look at, you know, some of the things you do on the practice field, is there anything you feel is unique about how you structure practice, and, you know, what do you do that's maybe a little bit different that coaches could learn from?
Well, one thing that we do is I don't want to see our kids standing around. So we try to maximize our time and as many reps as we can. We do a lot of mass teaching, a lot of mass reps. When you have anywhere from 160, 180 kids, I don't want kids standing around. So one of the things we do in our summer that has been really good with the large amount of numbers is we'll spend the first hour in our summer camp where the weight, our defense goes to the weight room, and then our offense, they work group and indy. The second hour, they switch. So I've got defense working group and indy while the offense is lifting. And then the third hour, we come back team. And we have found that it breaks practice up. Our kids are better to concentrate better. When you break it up like that, kind of chunking, it's been something that we have found and hung our hat on. We felt like it's made us better. One of the things that I do, and I feel like this is something that's important, is, you know, I used to do this where you have a practice schedule, you list everything you want to get and all that. But I remember being a defensive coordinator and the head coach come over and say, hey, here's today's practice schedule. And I'm like, oh, you know, so I got so much time for this or, you know, and it just wasn't conducive to what I needed to get done. So when I took over, I just felt like I sit down with all my coordinators, my offense, my defense, my special teams, and I sit there and I play in segments. You know, I'm saying how much time do you need for inside run game and all that, because we want to be fast, effective, and efficient. But I also want to understand what their needs are. So when I build practices, I actually sit down and plan those with our coordinators, and I found like that's maximized what we've done. So to me, that's been huge in our program.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to keep those guys involved. And I know it was always a challenge, you know, as a head coach, putting together a plan that's going to meet everybody's needs. It certainly takes a lot of time and coordination.
Yeah, you know, the way we practice during our regular season is different than what we practice in our playoffs. You know, the longest I want to be in our regular season on the practice field is maybe 2.5 hours. That's it. Don't get me wrong. Certain weeks, certain opponents, you're on the field for 3. And then we always tag it. We watch film before, and we watch film after practice. So it can kind of be a longer type day during the regular season. We used to practice, you know, anywhere from 3.5 to 4 hours in the past. And what I noticed is when we got to the playoffs, we were not physically, you know, we were physically tired. We weren't mentally ready. And we felt like, you know, I look back and I think it probably cost us some games. So one of the things that I've done is I changed how we practice, just up tempo and those things. But our regular practice compared to how we practice during the playoff runs, we're much shorter, quicker, and all that. And we have 5-minute segments, you know, where we try to really control how much contact we're taking. You know, I'm blessed. Our kids know how to practice. We never take anything down, you know, anybody down to the ground. There's a certain way we do business. But what we do is we shorten that practice and spend a lot more time in the film room understanding our opponents when it comes playoff season. And I felt like we made a run in 2016 to the semifinals, and we saw our kids. We responded a lot better. This year, you know, we won it all. And I just think it's how we did business, how we our approach to practice, how we changed that.
Coach, as you look back at 2017, all the things you do, a lot of things that we've talked about here today, if I said, Coach, pick one thing that you really think gave your team the winning edge, what would that be?
Oh, bottom line, it's our culture. It's everything that we've established in our program. You know, that's based on tradition. It's based on how we prepare. You know, everybody says, Coach, well, you won the state title. You know, you went for two to win it. Well, here's what I can tell people right here that are not familiar with us. We found ourselves in that same situation week five against one of our biggest rivals. We were down, and we had to go 80 yards in 53 seconds to win, and we did so. And I believe it's about teaching grit, perseverance, courage, you know, having heart, you know, teaching failure, teaching patience, all those things that we teach, life lessons and stuff like that. Our culture has helped prepare our kids. And, you know, there was never any doubt. And I'm not saying this to be cocky, but our kids felt like we were never out of any game. There's several games we had to battle behind, but it's about perseverance. It's about grit. Our kids really, they grit up. And they would respond. And I think that's key to our success this year. The leadership, let me tell you, we always say this, you win with outstanding senior leadership. And we have that. We had that in place. One thing about it is our kids just believe they're going to find a way to win. And you know and I know that's a huge part of the battle, just belief. And you know, how we prepare. We feel like the kids, they trust the coaches that we're going to prepare them, and we trust our coaches. That game I talked about week five, coming back from behind. Here's what not many people know. The kids made the call on a particular fourth down and 11 yards. It was fourth and 11, and our kids came to the sideline, and they said, Coach, this is going to be open. This is the play we should run. You know what? We said, okay, let's do it. And there's been times on fourth and one in the regular season that I've said, okay, what do you guys see? Coach, I think we can run this. And all right, let's do it. Let's get it done. And we found ways to be successful. It's that trust you build. It's all about relationships that you build with your players. And again, it goes back to our coaches. They're wonderful teachers, great men who invest in our kids. And, you know, I talk to our staff all the time. You know, we got to continue to invest in our kids and find different ways to reach kids, because that's what it's about. And if you're going to be successful, you have to have guys around you that are kid magnets. And that's what I talk to our coaching staff. When I look for a hire, you know, or somebody that if we have a position open, you know, I always say, I want to know, are they a kid magnet? Because what we want is we want guys on our staff that kids are going to rally for and rally to. And that's big in our program.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us here. How can a coach reach out to you or connect with you?
Well, you can reach me via email. It's Phil, P-H-I-L, .L-I-T-E, at N as in North, K as in Kansas, C as in City, schools with an S .org, or you can look me up on Twitter at coach_light, L-I-T-E.
Coach, it's been great to have you here. Thanks for joining us on the podcast and connecting with us here. I appreciate all you're doing for the game, and best of luck to you and your coaching staff and players in 2018.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.